This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to everyone for, Wednesday, May 2nd, 2012, just a few more months till we all die if we live long enough. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Sorry, you just killed me. That's funny.
Well,
comes out of nowhere, Doug. It just came out of nowhere with that one.
Yeah, well, that's what they say, so we'll see what happens. But anyway, it's good to have everybody with us tonight to talk about finding and enhancing your creativity. This program is a program, that's not redundant, is it? I work for the Department of Redundancy Department. This Metaphysical Universe is a program, an educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. We explore science, spirituality, we empower the human spirit, and we're happy to have everyone join us live, as well as those who are listening to the archives. That's a good thing. We'd love to hear from you tonight if you'd like to be a part of it. That is, those live listeners. You're always welcome to call in. The number's on your screen. Dr. John Hightower screening your calls, of course. We'd like to hear from you. And, of course, tonight's topic on enhancing your creativity, maybe you have an interesting creative outlet that you would like to share. And so you give us a call. Of course, you can ask questions in the chat room, too. So tonight we're going to really be discussing creativity and its role in spiritual fulfillment, spiritual development, and so forth. Vicki, of course, has some definite ideas on it, right?
It's a big one for me. It's a discussion I have all the time with people, all the time. So, yeah, we got lots to talk about.
Well, great. Let's talk.
Well, you know, if it comes to mind, Doug, I mean, we were talking about this some time ago. Why are people not creative? You know, it's like, what happened?
It's that damn TV.
It is.
Just sucks the creativity out of everybody.
It does.
It's from the devil.
Well, and that
evil.
Internet and all that music and that dancing, it just, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I go back to even in, the 1930s, 1940s, 50s, these early psychologists, metaphysicians too, I might add, warned that this day might come. Actually, Eric Fromm was certain the day would come. In a society that's industrialized, where we put everybody into the factory, you go to work. Now, consider that your job is like going to the factory. It's a routine. You go to work every day, and you come home. And he said the spirituality of people will continue to stir. And if the society didn't find ways to entertain the public, there would be a revolt. It's like a spiritual revolt. And, of course, what do we have in the last, you know, few decades? Just this whole building of creativity that's provided for people so they don't have to think anymore. I mean, there's, imagine, right from video games to television, too. But in the name of technology and for as advancing as we are, it seems that there's an equal and opposite effect that we all have to be very conscious of. And conscious is that really critical word, because are we waiting for people and the world to entertain us that has inhibited creativity, that it's just so darned hard to access? It's a huge question, Doug. You know, just trying to dig around with people and find out what interests you, where's your creative flow, because we are naturally creative beings.
Right.
We are thinking creative beings. So what happened?
You know, I personally don't, I've never really agreed with that whole thing on the TV and, you know, and games and stuff. I mean, if you really want to think about it from another angle, television, radio, dance, games, even gaming, online games, video games, they're all products of creativity. And I think that an argument can be made that it helps. I think I think those are just beside the point. And when it comes to what's happened to creativity, it reminds me of something my dad said when I was a kid, you know, and I'd say, I'm bored. And he would say, you know, it's interesting. When I was a kid, I was never bored. Well, that's interesting, but it also speaks to the times, to the particular current culture, societal culture, societal conditioning, you know, the expectations that kids have these days. I mean, I grew up, I mean, we had our black and white TV back in the 60s and, you know, three channels and that was it. Yeah, I mean, we always found things to do, of course. And even prior to that, prior to television, there was radio. Prior to radio, there was stuff, you know, that you could do. And so I think it, I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud here, but it almost seems as if this whole creativity thing is tempered or filtered by the times, you know, the current modern times, whatever that means for whatever generation.
I mean, well, I think in early childhood, there's a risk here. In early childhood, if you have been encouraged to be self-thinking, you know, self-motivated, interested in exploring the world as opposed to the world exploring you, I think that there's, if you're continually inspired, even when you're young, very young, to find things to think about, find things to do, to explore it, I think you have a pretty good idea of what creativity is.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, though, when young, very young kids are provided everything they need to think about, they're trained to think, how to think, what to think about, and it goes on through school. I mean, and then they get out of school, they get married, they have kids, they've got a career, and then they're falling flat. Do you know? I mean, it's like that.
Well, I think you're getting, I'm sure this is your point. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder here.
Go for it.
But you're basically saying when somebody else does all the thinking for you, there's no reason to be creative.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think that for as much as we live in what seems to be a very creative time, I'm going to propose that maybe 1 out of 100 people is being creative to provide the creativity. And I think individuals at a very individual level, if you ask somebody, what inspires you? What do you like to do? The answer will usually be, well, I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Do you like art? Well, I like to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like digging, you know, a huge vat, because it's like, where are you in there? What inspires you? What do you think about? And I think what we have to get at first is, what are you thinking about when you don't have something to think about? And that's really important. I mean, stay with me on this, because
call that sleep.
Yeah, I love sleep. If you have to go into your job and you're thinking, you have to take care of your children and you're thinking, you're cooking supper, and maybe you're doing that without thinking, but you're still thinking. There's a process. But when you don't have those things to think about, what are you thinking about? You see, this is to be conscious of the mind and one's own process, if you will. So it's like, what inspires you? You know, where it's like sometimes you have to peel away layers with folks to get them to be interested. I really understand that there are priorities in life. And boy, more times than I can count, people who have, you know, start into retirement in their 50s, mostly in their late 40s, 50s, 60s, this is when, geez, they're fulfilled in everything in their life and they start painting and didn't know they could paint.
Right.
But they could paint, but they were occupied.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what we have to consider first, is what are we most occupied with that is inhibiting the creativity? I'm not saying everybody's going to be a painter, but I think that we used to be in a time where we participated more with these fundamental basics of life, everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to do that anymore because it's provided. You know, the day is structured, and life is just somehow provided, or we're directed, or, you know, we know which way to go. But, gee, it's sometimes, you know, everybody is creative, Doug. This is my point. Everyone is creative. If we are a spirit in a body, we have an extraordinary mind with amazing capacities that go way beyond going to your job every day. That's my point.
Well, so the trick is, how do we express our creativity?
Well, I think, and this is a tricky bit of business. If on an individual basis with anyone, you know, we can start to have a dialogue that piques interest, piques curiosity, and starts to inspire the individual. When we're talking to a group, it's like, how do you find that, you know, that here's the 1, 2, 3s of finding your creativity. There's so many books written on it. There's so many other folks out there working in this field. You can go to therapy if you like. But I think it really comes down to, if you're more spiritually intact with yourself and if you're more conscious of who you are in your daily life, you know, then you kind of know what things interest you from the inside out. So here's the difference between entertainment and creativity. Entertainment is usually something that is provided to us. Creativity comes from within us.
That's a good definition.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Remind me to give you a raise.
Checks in the mail. So I think if we can first discern that, and then people can begin from there, it's like to work backward instead of, like, okay, what inspires me from the inside out? Most people get paralyzed. I've seen that so much. It's like, I'm not creative. I can't even draw a stick man. Well, I'm not asking you to draw a stick man. I'm asking what motivates you, what inspires you. Do you like gardening? No. Do you, you know, like to go for walks? No. And it's like this process of elimination, and I can pretty quickly find out who is very accustomed to being entertained. And I tell you, this is number one at the top of the list for me in relationship errors, is where people wait for the partner to entertain them.
Oh,
so people want a relationship so they get entertained. And that's what I think. We wait for people to entertain us, and when we don't have that, then we look for, right now I think we're almost addicts on technology to entertain us, keep us occupied. I think if somebody were to get into computer programming, that's very creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which then you're taking that from the inside out, because you have ideas and you've got to make it happen. So this is what I think we have to first make the distinction, so people can, all of us can as individuals, get a handle on where we are looking for entertainment rather than our creativity. Make that distinction. We're working backwards, and then you can find out what's inside.
And, you know, anything can be augmented with more creativity, whatever we're doing. I mean, creativity is in everything. It's, you know, do you like to cook? Well, you can get creative with it. Even at your job, you know, you can get creative. You know, if you have a desk, you know, how does your desk, what does your desk look like? Is it creative? You know, one of the things that Tracy, my wife, does at her office is she loves, they have a tree, you know, like a Christmas tree, but they use this tree all through the year for different holidays. And so, you know, of course, Christmas time, they'll decorate the tree. But, if it's St. Patrick's Day, it's decorated with St. Patrick's stuff. If it's, you know, Easter, then they'll do it with that. If it's Halloween, they'll do it with that. If it's in between times, I mean, they actually had quite a few months where they had their clients bring in pictures of themselves in the military, you know, any of their clients that were veterans. And they would bring in a, you know, an older picture of them as in uniform. And so then they would put these pictures all over the tree. And so there's a lot of ways, creative outlets just at work too. But anything you do, ask, how can I, you know, spiff it up a little bit with creativity? How can I make what I'm doing even more creative? Put that little extra oomph into it. And that might be a way to find some more creativity.
I think those are great creative expressions, you know, the holidays and decorating and, you know, coming up with the ideas and then motivating other people to participate. That's hugely creative. I love that. I love hearing those stories, too. You know, we have a question in the chat room. Is multitasking a form of creativity, or can it be considered a form of entertainment, divided attention? Well, hey, if you're thinking about how to multitask, that's creative. Don't you think, Doug?
Well, I think it takes creativity to multitask sometimes.
I agree.
Know? I mean, it's just, yeah, multitasking is creativity because you have to be creative in how to figure out how to get a bunch of stuff done at once or in the same time frame. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, if I have to think about, you know, how can I do this better? How can I do this different? How can I make better use of my time? That is a creative thinking process. That's, and, you know, especially if somebody is very pragmatic you know, a little more on the intellectual side, that's huge creativity. And it serves you in your job. It serves you at home. And it serves you just, I think, in basically in everyday life. So you're making use of things and coming up with new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're not an overachiever, I guess. But, you know, that's a creative thing too. So it's as long as it's coming from within you and you have to actually think about it yourself, how can it not be creative? So
mm-hmm.
I think it's great.
I mean, there's so many thoughts running through my head right now. I mean, being an overachiever, you know, what does that mean? You know, I mean, and there are overachievers for sure. But, you know, I think about me. I mean, my schedule is, as probably most of my students know, is all over the place. I don't really have a schedule per se. My schedule is I work, and I'm always working in one thing or another. You know, yeah, sometimes I lay back and veg a little bit and relax, of course, every day. But, I mean, I'll work at all hours. There's no set time for me to be working. I don't have a 9-to-5 thing. I can't deal with that. So, you know, I work through the day. I go do things that I need to do. I work at night. Sometimes I'm up till wee hours in the morning working. I mean, many students have commented, you know, do you ever sleep? I mean, I get emails from you at 2, 3, 4 in the morning sometimes. And, you know, well, I do sleep. It just, you know, I have my own schedule and it just goes. And that's, for me, I could almost say that's part of my creativity because, you know, I do what I need to do at the moment. And so now I'm going to tie this back to the whole overachiever thing, and I'm not so much an overachiever, but I'm always working, I'm always thinking, I'm always doing something. But that's what I choose to do. I'm not a workaholic because I don't really work. I guess this is my life. This is my life's work. So this is who I am, what I do. It's not really like work to me. It's if I was independently wealthy, nothing would really change. This is what I do.
Well, you're always in a creative process.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think that the overachiever, to really define that better, is because it has a negative thing. The overachiever is somebody who has to achieve for a particular result, and when they don't, they're hard on themselves. That's how I kind of see an overachiever.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. You're right. That's a good definition.
So, I mean, you're a high achiever, but that's just the level, the vibrational level that you work to. And you're always in a creative process. So I don't know if it's the overachiever. But Doug, you also are in the process of rebuilding a boat. So,
well, I put that on hold for a while.
Yeah, but
that's another creative outlet. I mean, I've done that. You know, you go buy a cheap boat for a few $100 and you know, it's a project, and I love doing that because you know, I get to use my tools, and if I don't have the tools, I get to go buy more tools, and so, you know, that's all part of it too, part of the fun, and learning new skills, that's what I enjoy too, fiberglassing and just different restoration things, that's part of my creative outlet too. I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't even thought of that.
You know, I think probably some of the most creative people are parents. You know, we're talking about multitasking. This is something that's often overlooked. If I'm going to speak primarily for women at the moment. I know there's single dads out there, and I don't want to exclude you. But a parent, namely mother, is at work. She's thinking about the groceries she has to pick up on the way home, and oh yeah, and Johnny's got a recital tonight, and I can't forget about that doctor's appointment tomorrow. That is all creative thinking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And how to get through the day, get it all done, and it's really if you get kind of good at it, it's not stressful. In fact, you're now working or operating at that higher frequency level. Now, I don't think that can be sustained for great lengths of time without a lot of sleep.
Well, but, yeah, and that actually ties into the question in the chat room about, you know, whether multitasking can sometimes basically drain away relevant energy from what can be used on one big project at a time. I think multitasking can be strenuous. It can be draining. And so it depends on what the circumstances are. That's a real tough question to give us a black and white answer to. You know, is multitasking, does it just drain you away? Should you basically focus your energies on one project at a time? I don't know the answer to that, because some activities require multitasking. You have to do several things at once. It just depends on the situation.
I think it depends on your individual nature, too. You know, Doug, I'm always doing three or four things at once. That's if I have to stay singular, I get bored.
Oh, yeah.
I phase out real fast. Mm-hmm. So I think if multitasking is something that's really natural to you, and that's the kind of nature you have, you know, and those characteristics in your nature that must be on many things at one time, then that's not a chore for you. That's not a negative.
Right.
So I think that's actually a positive.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hi, doctors. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good. You?
Great. Thank you. Interesting conversation, and it brought up a lot of memories in my childhood that we had to definitely be creative and make our own fun. I think one of the downfalls these days may possibly be all the electronics. You know, when I grew up, you know, you had to put sticks together, you had tinker toys,
right,
and you had erector sets, and you had crystal radios, and you were very lucky if anything had any electric capacity at all. You just had to put something together. I mean, stringing up tin cans in the backyard. I mean, we had all kinds of games that we figured out and did that all the time. But now you sit down, kids are so overstimulated that I don't think they have the capacity like we did of stimulating themselves or stimulating their own minds. You were talking about people wanting to be entertained, but they have forgotten it's really so easy and so much more fun to entertain themselves.
It can be. I mean, I remember as a kid making a guitar out of a laundry soap box and a board, you know, and some string. I remember making, you know, scuba masks out of some kind of a big, you know, cardboard round tub type thing, you know, with a rubber band on it. I mean, I identify with what you're saying, and you're right. I think that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier on. Yes, there's a lot of technology, there's a lot of cool things, and so it has removed the need for expressing that creativity. And hence the point for this program is to, just because we have those things, don't let that deprive you of expressing creativity in some area. Good point.
Sure. I think that and we look at I'm a certified health educator, and we know that chunky parents for the most part are going to have chunky children. I mean, there's a whole environmental issue here. And the more creative parents are, they're going to have creative children.
Sure.
But the parents that aren't creative, the ones that aren't active, they're not going to have creative and active children.
And that's true in a lot of things. I mean, it's just the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree syndrome, right?
Right.
I have a question for you, Michael. I have a question. In the medical field, and it's a question because I really don't know the answer here. So, the weight issue aside, do you think that people who are more mental and of mental energy have more physical illness? Are there statistics to support that in your profession?
Wow. People that are more...
If people are not physically inclined, if they're not active and creative, and they're more just more intellectualized people with, let's say, not very active professions and lifestyles, do they tend to have more illness?
More mentally active, less physically active.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
People.
I don't know specifically the stats on that, but we know that our bodies are made to move and enjoy moving, and when they don't move, that's when they start freezing up and you have, you know, more arthritis pains from lack of movement mm-hmm. than from over movement. But I haven't seen statistics, mental energy. I mean, we use, 25% of our energy just with our brain, so even though someone is stationary, they're still active in their mind, but their muscles and their frame is not active. I don't know. I'll have to look that one up for you.
I'd be curious to see if there is any, any information out there or something statistical, because, if how far does our creativity go? And I think it has to move into the body at some point, but at what point are we getting sick and our body's getting sick from not being creative with our thoughts and our minds,
That's a good thought. I don't know. Is that covered in your courses?
Absolutely. Everything's covered in the courses. You name it, it's covered. Do you believe me?
I'm looking forward to starting one, though. So
well, that's
I'll
great.
Keep you posted.
Well, thanks
well, anyway,
for calling
thank
in.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed listening in.
Yeah, thanks
right,
for being
thank
part
you.
Of it. Talk to you again
You're
soon.
Welcome. All right, bye-bye.
I think it's reasonable to say that very often people get depressed. I know we use that in the mm-hmm. promotional material, Doug. I think people get depressed, or I say oppressed. I think that if there's a part of us that is not active in our process, we feel oppressed. But depression seems to be the symptom of it. And to me, if we can find creative ways to express ourselves, from the inside out, it inhibits depression. It just kind of vanishes.
Even Viktor Frankl commented on that in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, when he talked about the primary reason for addiction, depression, and aggression is a lack of meaning in one's life. And when you extrapolate that just a little bit, sufficient meaning, significant meaning in one's life, well, creativity is part of that meaning and is linked to that spiritual fulfillment that we have. So if you think about it, a person who is depressed, I mean, and there's different types of depression, of course, but people who are in that depressed state are not finding meaning. They're not finding that spiritual fulfillment, that creative fulfillment. And so those are certainly things that can help with that depressed state, especially when you think about doing. It's like, if you want to get your mind off yourself, go do something for somebody else. Go help somebody else. Go focus on somebody else. Because the more of yourself you give away, the more of yourself you keep. And so that's all part and parcel to it.
I think you just brought up something really important there about finding that meaning to your life. I think how that has in some trendy form translated nowadays to people wanting to find their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's what is that purpose for being here? And I tend to avoid that word purpose myself, because I try to imagine it this way. If I'm a spirit who came here to do something, learn about the conditions of where we're at, and of course it's got its own evolution too, so I want to learn and I want to express. Is that not purpose enough?
Well, of course. You know? Well, it is, but it depends on what context. I mean, in the IMHS degree program, I talk a lot about the meaning of life and the purpose of life, and I believe they're two different things. The meaning of life involves your core values, your belief system, what you find fulfilling, your creative outlets, all that stuff, your spiritual fulfillment. But your purpose is what you do to activate that meaning. And in fact, I love the way one of my students recently put it. He kind of summarized it and said, you know, the meaning of life remains constant. That's what I've said. The meaning of life is constant, but your purpose can change. And so my student, Stephen, summarized it and basically said that your purpose is the action plan for your meaning in life. And it was beautifully put, because that's true. We have meaning in our life, things that are important to us and things that we find meaningful. But what are we doing with that meaning? What are we doing to activate that meaning? What are we doing to find fulfillment in that meaning? We have to put that meaning to work. For example, if part of the meaning of our life is seeing people do well, what are we doing to help them do well in a particular area? Could it be spiritual counseling or some kind of coaching or working at the soup kitchen or helping a neighbor or whatever it happens to be? So those are some thoughts. You still there?
Yeah, I mean, you're inspiring lots of thought in me, too. I love this discussion, of course. Many years ago, I had a client, too, who was very frustrated about if her life had reached that point where Kate looking for the meaning of her life. And I said, how about we just begin with how to participate in daily life and just look at some very basic life skills. And really be conscious of those daily life skills. You know, we're so used to boxed food, mm-hmm. quick food, microwave food.
I am not.
What's the most fundamental thing that we do except eat? So I said, what about if you get creative about it? How about decide the day before, you know, what you're going to take out of your freezer, mm-hmm. have it thaw naturally, not in the microwave. Have it actually thought ahead of time, and you're thinking creatively about what you're going to cook and how you're going to cook it. You know, when you get to that point, that to me is, I think, the most fundamental creative process that we have, because we all have to eat. So it's we can begin with things like food and what we do as everyday stuff. You know, I even asked a girlfriend of mine one day, how do you keep your house so clean? And she looked at me and she said, well, I'd have to be real creative about it. I take one room at a time.
One room a day.
Yeah, and then it got to that point of, okay, one every day she tackles another room. And of course, it's always so darn clean anyway, so I can't figure it out. But you know, she'll dust, and she has a process, and it's very creative. So, you know, and so I'm thinking, this is creative thinking about how to organize your day, how to improve how you feel about participating in very basic life skills. And it does really, you know, it really involves some creative thought, Doug. I mean, take out whatever you're going to have for the week, for instance, your shopping list, and that's what you have. You always have fresh food, and take the meat out of the freezer early, and you know, get the right spices for it. Maybe get a cookbook. That's a very creative process. Now, of course, you're cleaning and you want to keep up with the housework and you want to organize some time for yourself. Well, what is time for yourself? Now, that's a good question. What pleases people? What do they need most? Do they want to read a book? Is there a movie they want to watch? Geez, are they a student at IMHS? You know, and they need to get on to their studies. So it's to kind of be flexible, but creative in, you know, okay, these are basic things in life, and then always have things to look forward to. And I'm a real stickler about this. Even if it's, you know, visiting grandma in the nursing home next Sunday afternoon, there's something in the mind to look forward to in time. And we begin to utilize time and utilize our energy in a way that moves forward. It doesn't stay stationary. And I think this is a big kicker. When people don't have things to look forward to, they get depressed.
Well, that's true. So create something to look forward to. And that can be those little things you were just talking about, you know, cooking a meal or other things. And that's something that we actually need to go into as well. In terms of, you know, how can we find more creative outlets? You know, if you're a person who, well, I don't know how to express myself creatively, the fact of the matter is you probably already are, but we need to recognize those things too. What are you doing that's got a little, just a little, what's the word I want, a little pizzazz to it? You know, what are you doing that's just a little bit different? Those are all part of our creativity. We're all creative. We're all a little different, and that involves our creativity. So what do you like? You know, what do you enjoy? Nice things? And if that's the case, what are those nice things? Do you enjoy a nice home or having a well-kept home, a well-attired home, if you will? What do you like? You know, some people paint. Some people do pottery. Some people... Gosh, there's everything's a creative outlet if you just want it to be. I do the boat restoration thing when I have that, and I mean I do graphics, I do my websites, I do my courses, I do, you know, when we do this program, you know, we have to think creatively to come up with topics. There's so much of what I do, and I look at things that I have done, and I'm proud of those things because now, yeah, they took a lot of time and a lot of effort, and it was fun during the process. Sometimes it was tedious, but it was still a creative outlet, and I look back and, wow, I'm proud of that. So if you're somebody that's looking for a creative outlet, what is that? What do you like to do? I know in my area, we have a cultural center here, and it's they put on a lot of courses for retired folks, and so you can learn to paint or draw or speak a language or computer stuff or sewing or basket weaving or whatever you want. You can learn those things and take them. I've often thought about taking a painting course. I'm just not ready quite yet to, I don't have the time commitment for that yet, but one of these days when I grow up, I'm probably going to do that. So those are some ideas that might help you to find that creative outlet.
You know, one of the things that they found in schools, at least a lot of schools, for young kids to get their thinking caps on is to stand in one place and do marching.
Oh,
I know, stay with me here for a second. It's to get both sides of the brain working together. You know, that left side is, mm-hmm. is very linear and the right side is very creative and imaginative. Well, if we can stimulate our brains and to work with our bodies, then I think creativity flows better and we think better. Now, people who are very sedentary, who are very stuck, I'm going to say this to you. Get up off your butt.
You're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what to do.
Well, you know, I'm all for taking rest times, and sometimes that can be 2 or 3 months. I really am. I say if it's 2 or 3 months of sleep you need, you take it. But there is a point when you have to say, I think I've been sitting here too long.
Mm-hmm.
So something really simple, like turn on some music and get dancing, get moving,
mm-hmm.
get both sides of your brain going. And even if you're saying, well, what's creative about this? Well, you're being stimulated. And any kind of stimulation to both sides of the brain, that's just basic physiology, both sides of the brain to the body, you start to very slowly get this juices going. You know, it's slow, but you get it going. And every day gets a little bit better. So if you get that into part of your routine, then it will eventually build into some kind of a creative force, and you could be a force to be reckoned with, and because you don't know what's going to come as a result of that. The other thing that I would suggest to people is find out what you're doing that's a habit and stop it.
There you go. That's a great suggestion, honestly.
Well, observe yourself. Do you always put your pants on left leg first? I challenge you to stop and do right leg first.
There you go.
And it's, do you always brush your teeth the same way? Well, I challenge you to do it different.
About taking the long way home.
Yeah, exactly. Park at the end of the parking lot and walk across the parking lot to the store. Change one small thing and you start to unglue these habits that have kind of adhered together. I'm the first to say, I'm a creature of habit too, but I just like it my way. Yeah, that's my problem.
Let's compromise and do it my way.
I love that T-shirt you have. I want one of those. Doug has great T-shirts, by the way. When I see them all the time on Skype, I say, okay, what does that T-shirt say? He has these great one-liners. He finds them wherever. It's amazing to me. But it's to do something different, to change it up a little bit. If you just start to be a little bit self-aware and really get back into saying, I am the boss of me, I will change this. I think I'm getting too stuck. If I do this one small thing, it could inspire another thought that makes this another small thing. And another small thing, and another small thing. And before you know it, you're saying, you know, I think I'm being kind of creative about this. I may not be, you know, an artist selling million-dollar paintings, but I do have a bit of a creative process going on. And you start to actually become more aware of your thinking. And aware of your thinking is aware of your energy. How do you feel when you think those things? Now you're getting into your own creative process, and you will want to do something. If it's a stained glass course or a writing course, or maybe you just want to join the gym because it's social and you like the conversation. And, you know, some people who are great conversationalists, that is creative. I'll tell you, dealing with a lot of people can be very creative.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also community projects available. You know, there's Habitat for Humanity here in the States and a lot of them, you know, building things. There's all the crafts. You know, the craftsman type jobs, whether it's in construction or whether it's arts and crafts, plenty of arts and crafts stores, plenty of hobby stores. You know, there's a lot of cool things. I mean, if you're really looking for something to express yourself creatively and you don't know, go to a hobby store and just look what jumps out at you. You know, what do you think is cool? I mean, there's so many things. And we have to take time to enjoy our life. It can't be all about eking out an existence and focusing every ounce of energy on simply existing, because what's the point? You know, you got to live your life. And so take the time for yourself and have something to express yourself that way creatively. It all ties back to your spiritual fulfillment.
You know, Doug, some people... Some folks just do not do well singularly. Mm-hmm. And if you know that you are someone who, geez, you know, it's just really hard to get up off your chair and get motivated to do that every Tuesday night or Wednesday night, then how about looking for someone who likes the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody where you know that you've got like that date, you know, every, you know, Monday right after work or on Saturdays, you know, you've got that date to get together and brainstorm or go to a class or go for that long walk or, you know, where you kind of feel a little bit obligated where you got to get up off your butt, but you can motivate each other. And just that camaraderie And it's starting to get into, you know, maybe it is this social element of being in a group. Know yourself. Know how you function best. Because I'm a loner in this way. I can get up and go. If I decide I'm going to go take that course, I just go. Not everybody is like that, because I'm like you. I need my sleep at night, but I also have animals that require me to be up early. So, you know, I like that kind of a routine. But I'm also somebody who works best for themselves. I am really good at being self-employed. Not everybody is like that.
Yeah.
I can be a little more resourceful, and other people are not like that. So it's not one better than the other. It's just we all function different. We have to know how we function. I felt guilty for many, many years that I couldn't hold a job.
Then you just embrace it.
Oh, yeah. I just said, this sucks. I mean, I shouldn't feel bad about who I am. This is the way I function. And I do it pretty darn well, and I've supported 3 kids being self-employed. So, you know, I manage along, and we have ups and downs and arounds, and, you know, I've had to go take the job in the flower shop, at one point, and, you know, things that you have to do to fill in the money. But it's also very creative. If I've had to do that years ago, I looked to something I had not done before because I wanted to be inspired. And I wanted to do something a little bit different. I like to do things that are hard. I think easy will be a sure bet for boredom, and I will drive myself crazy. So I look for things that challenge me, that get me thinking and put me into a really uncomfortable place almost, because, wow, I've got to think. I had to stay home a lot during menopause because
you didn't want anybody to kill you.
No, I didn't want to kill anybody.
Oh, that too. You know,
again, it's knowing ourselves. So there you go.
Absolutely. Our caller earlier, Michael, he just commented in the chat room, never grow up. And you know, you think about that, obviously we have to be responsible, but that's not the sense he's talking. You know, never grow up. Look at the wonder of life, of the world, of the universe, of things that we don't ordinarily notice. Look at the creativity in nature. Look at how it's expressed. I mean, you want a creative outlet, look at nature. It's obviously everything you can imagine and is portrayed. So think about creativity with your spirituality and how you're being fulfilled spiritually and what role your creativity is playing in that, whether it's helping others in some way as part of it. I mean, there's not one creative expression. There's many. So get delighted about it. What do you delight in life? You know, the delightful things of life, the little things that are just special about life, and how can that be even more special? Because that's what it's about, too, really finding that fulfillment.
You know, and sometimes it comes in the most inadvertent ways, I think, that, you know, I have come across people along my journey of learning about my genealogy, and I've met people who suddenly, just out of curiosity, ended up taking on this monumental task and loving every moment of it to put family trees together.
Mm-hmm.
Something that
there
just
you go.
Came... Oh, it's wonderful. What a treasure that is. I'm thinking right now of a fellow I came across on Facebook who has the single largest collection of American Indians and tribes that's ever been collected. And all
I'm sorry,
he did...
He has the largest collection of what?
American Indian photos.
Oh, photos. I thought you said American Indians. Wow, he's kind of...
Sorry, but yeah, okay, that too.
Okay, photos, okay.
He's got quite the following. Well, I probably missed a word in there. He started out just posting some of these very old pictures of his own people up on Facebook, and before he knew it, people started sending him pictures.
Wow.
Well, he's got, I think at last count, 17,000. In his treasure, and
wow.
It's nearly turned into a full-time job. Now, you want to talk about a creative process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always looking at what he's putting up next. It's just extraordinary. Now, this is a guy who hadn't thought he was creative. So you never know when you're going to come across mm-hmm. something that inspires you.
Good example.
And wow, it just can build, and now you've got kind of like the rest of your life set out.
And that's interesting. You know, I mean, that's a good suggestion for Creative Outlet is your ancestry. I mean, that's fascinating to me, too, and I want to do that. You know, I love the show Who Do You Think You Are that's on here. I don't know if it's on globally or not, but it's about Ancestry, you know, Ancestry.com sponsors it. And some of these celebrities and movie stars and so forth will trace their roots. And it's interesting. And so you wonder, where'd you come from? I mean, think about this for a moment, too. You want to get creative, start documenting your life. Because if you have kids or grandkids, well, what about your 5, 6, 7 times grandchildren? I mean, think about it. They may not even, they probably won't remember you unless you help them. I look back, I know, obviously, my grandfathers, my great-grandfathers, but beyond that, my great-great-grandfather, I don't know. Mothers, don't know. And I think about that. I think, wow, that's kind of a shame. I don't want my 2, 3, 4 times grandchildren to not even know who I am or who I was. So what legacy are you leaving? I mean, the beautiful thing about modern times is that we can document so much of our lives. So, you know, people tracing their roots here 100 or 200 or 300 years from now are not going to have nearly the challenge that we have today because, you know, we're going back to the 18th, 17th, 16th and centuries and before where there just aren't many records. So there's a creative
outlet.
You know,
I got a perfect little story you talk about. You know, we've often talked about these cosmic connections and how we all kind of overlap and connect at some point in the world. And through my journey of, you know, finding out my ancestry, I have met a cousin twice removed who lives in North Dakota. His wife and I have been communicating. She just sent me an extraordinary photo of my mother's father and all of his siblings that I'd never seen. Mm. And, well, lo and behold, Doug, this is a girl who has been psychic since she was a child. She's exploring that side of herself, taking the journey, looked at my website, and now we're having dialogue, you know, about our very similar experiences in metaphysics and mysticism. And, wow, you know, that's a new friendship that's just opening up. And so we never know how one small thing that starts out small, we think, can just blossom and take us in journeys and corners that we had no idea. And I'm pumped about it. You know, this Jennifer is an amazing young woman so far that we've gotten to know each other. And I like it. And it makes me feel connected to a family because it's that DNA, right? That DNA imprint that we feel linked at some level. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, we can embrace that part. So one creative adventure can bring joy and, you know, bring you experiences that certainly I hadn't counted on. And I'm really grateful that I took that journey.
Well, here's a kind of a creative call or I'll put out there for my students who are in the IMHS degree program. You know, you're going to be working on your dissertation. Some are. Many are pre-dissertation now. I mean, they're taking their bachelor's and master's studies. But be thinking about that. What are you gonna write about? And I know that they are, but if you think about metaphysics, the study of consciousness and existence, wow, is that not broad or what? But what are your interests? Where do they lie? And what's cool? What's interesting? What's a unique facet? You know, that's the thing that you have to give to yourself. What do you find interesting about consciousness and existence? What do you find fascinating, positive, encouraging? There's so many things, and of course, there's tons of ideas that you'll come across in the degree program courses, things that you'll find fascinating. Well, why not take that to the next level? Why not do some more research? Why not do your own research if it's relevant to whatever the topic is? But those are some things that you can use as a creative outlet so that you can be proud of what you've done here with this dissertation. You can add to the knowledge base, perhaps. Human human knowledge base. That's what it's about. Thinking outside the box, thinking according to your own personality, your own individuality. What unique things do you bring to the table? This is so important, and I'm going to hit this one because it is important. When I've always obviously been interested in the paranormal. Like most who are in it, I was interested in it at a very young age, fascinated by it, just taken with it, just utterly fascinated. Well, I wasn't able to pursue that until, about 7-8 years ago. Then I was in a position in life and things where I could, and so I went into it full bore. And I thought to myself, what do I bring to the table? I mean, gosh, there hasn't been a whole lot of new stuff learned in the broad anomalous research field in the last few decades. So what do I bring to the table here? I mean, am I going to go just do the same old? Well, no, that's not who I am, what I do. So what do I bring to the table? Well, I brought my unique experiences to it in terms of leadership, in terms of groundedness, in terms of being objective and really wanting to search for the truth of things, not being blinded by preconceived notions. And I just brought my own thing, and not the least of which was the Life Leadership Paragon. It's my contention that in order to do any kind of, well, anything in particular, but especially in the paranormal field, doing any kind of research, you need to accept yourself, show responsibility, respect others, and you need to be complete within yourself. In other words, you need to have a good foundation before you even begin to think about trying to figure out spirits and aliens and things like that. And once you build that foundation, you're going to be far more successful. You're going to find better answers. You're going to be far more balanced and grounded if you do that first. And so that's what I brought to it, and that's what I teach. And I've taught that, the Life Leadership Paragon, in the CPI course, Certified Paranormal Investigator course, for years, and it's the basis upon which the whole degree program stands. So no matter what you're doing, you're learning that, and it will make you better at whatever it is you do. So wherever your field is, whatever you like, what do you bring to the table? What's unique about you? Bring that, because that makes it so cool.
Even if it's not popular.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I take more flack for that.
Boy, this hour went by so fast. We really want to tell everybody next week we are talking about the success, the keys to success.
Yeah, characteristics of success.
And then we're taking off a week, everybody. We're having a little holiday on the 16th, but then we're coming back the following week with inspirational stories. So if you have an inspirational story that you'd like to share with us, please write in to Doug at admin@metaphysicsinstitute.org.
Sure, right, or mchschurch.org, either one.
Yep, and share your stories. And we encourage the students of the school to please write in and share some of your stories, and because that's going to be a big show for us. We really want a good, positive, inspiring show to look forward to. But just again, to reinforce, we will not be on the air May 16th.
And but yes, next week we will be, yeah.
Yes, we'll be back next week. So.
And we appreciate everyone taking your time with us tonight, listening to live or the archive. And please tell your friends, if you're interested in metaphysics, come visit us at metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree in metaphysics and specialize in a number of areas. If you like what you're hearing here, also visit mchschurch.org. Read over our principles of belief, which I think you'll find a mucho healthier alternative to the other popular belief systems out there in the world. So thanks, everyone. Thanks, Vicki. Have a great week.
Good night, Doug.
Good night,
everyone.